This is Social Entrepreneur with Susan Elwer of Hands and Feet.
Now more than ever, you see the importance of making those connections, building those relationships, and it requires you to put yourself out there.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week we hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur and today's guest, Susan Elwer of Hands and Feet. Now, today there are 13.1 million children in the United States that are suffering from food insecurity. In other words, they're not quite sure where that next meal is coming from. Susan and her company, Hands and Feet, they create apparel with inspiring messages, and then they donate 50% of their profits to end childhood hunger. So I'll let Susan tell you the story about this. Here she is, Susan Elwer of Hands and Feet.
In about 2015, I was sitting in church and I had a vision come to me to create apparel with inspiring messages. All along I'd been writing little, what I would consider inspirational quotes, messages based off podcasts, books, the messages at church. And it occurred to me, why don't I create apparel with those messages? You know, there's, you know, tons of graphic t-shirts out there and with messages, but then none of them really resonated with me. If I was going to wear apparel, I wanted that message to mean something to me. But at that point, it didn't really go anywhere other than my journal. Fast forward to 2016 in about November. And again, I'm an assistant in a preschool room and we were cleaning up after the day. And one of the teachers told me, hey, we've got this student in our class who's gone the first 3 months of school without a lunch. And right away, I mean, it literally brought me to tears. I thought, what's the first thing I can do? Well, it's easy. I'll make him a lunch. But then went home, talked to my husband. And through our conversations, you know, it brought back up memories of my own childhood, growing up in a single parent household. We relied on welfare for food, medical, and housing. And, you know, I was all too familiar with the shame and stigma associated with being on welfare and needing that to rely on our day-to-day needs. So that's kind of where the purpose came. You know, I like to think that the reason why we never started it, or I never started it back in 2015, was because I didn't have a why, I didn't have a purpose. And in 2016, vision met purpose, and that's when we launched Hands and Feet.
Okay, and so you launched in 2016 or 2017?
Well, actually, the idea started in 2016, but we actually did not launch officially until August of 2017.
Yeah. And so how does somebody buying a t-shirt feed a kid? How does that work?
Right. So, you know, we have apparel on our website and we donate 50% of the profits to, in Minnesota, our partner is Second Harvest Heartland, which is one of the largest food banks in the United States. And we thought, well, wouldn't know where best to spend those dollars. Let's go to the experts. And they are definitely the experts. They've been working for years, I think 25 plus years in the state of Minnesota and Western Wisconsin to help solve the hunger issues in our community.
So 50% of your profits go to these organizations such as Second Harvest. If somebody in, let's say, Montana or Mongolia, I don't know, somewhere else buys an item, is the idea that you'll be donating in those regions as well?
Yes, correct. So originally, when we started this, we thought, well, what is the best way for us to create a community? One of our core values is community. Our thought was, well, how can we get other people outside of Minnesota involved in this? And so we donate. If you live in Nebraska, or if you live in California, if you're purchasing, wherever you're purchasing, that's where those dollars go, because our customers want to feel like they're making an impact in their own community.
You mentioned you yourself experienced food insecurity, or at least a little bit of the stigma of, you know, things got pretty tight at the end of the month, then mom is, you know, paying with food stamps. You know, one of the things you said, and I think I'd like to hone in on that a little bit, is that feeling of a little bit of embarrassment about that. You know, I think honestly, all of us can kind of relate a little bit to say there's something a little uncomfortable about having to reach in the pocket of the purse and pull out food stamps in order to make things work. You know, one of the things we tend to do, I think, as a society is we tend to shame people who are food insecure. But your mom was not lazy. She didn't lack character, right? I see your eyebrows going up. Right, I wish I had a video right now of the look on your face, right? So it's not a character flaw to need help and assistance, right?
Exactly. I think being on welfare, it's in going hungry, it's a silent issue. No one wants to talk about it because there is pride at stake. If you can't provide for your family, you maybe have feelings of lower self-worth, whatever it is. And my mom, she worked. I mean, she did her best and it wasn't enough to make ends meet. And luckily, she wasn't too prideful to ask for help and get the assistance that we needed to be able to thrive and live.
I think that's an important distinction. And I'm glad you're kind of talking about that a little bit, because I do think that, you know, it's important to say there is no character flaw. There's nothing wrong with people who are in need of assistance. And honestly, any one of us in any moment in time could find ourselves in a food insecure situation, right?
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, the people that visit food banks or food shelves, I mean, it's not just somebody who doesn't have a job. Quite honestly, more often than not, it's working families. It could be a traditional family, a mom and a dad, or maybe single parent, but they just need the extra help to make it through to the end of the month. Again, it's hard to ask for help, but I think now with some of the food shelves, they're trying to make it more feel like a store as opposed to kind of just a warehouse where you're going to pick up food, you know, so feel more normal, like, hey, this is an okay thing. I can go ask for help.
You have this vision, this idea that came to you kind of in a flash where you said, you know, I would love to have an apparel company that has positive and inspiring messages. And I do think you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording here that there are just so many messages coming at us all day long that are negative and people are yelling at each other on the news. And, you know, we have plenty of that stuff in the world. So you had this idea about these positive, inspiring messages. And then you said you got to the why. And the why really drove you to launch this thing. So now you've got those two components. You've got kind of an idea, and you've got a reason and a purpose for your business. So how did you turn that into reality? What were your first steps then?
Our first steps, and I say we because my husband is helping me with this definitely along the way, was to just kind of pitch it to our friends and family and business people that we know, like, hey, we've got this idea. We've got this concept. What do you think? Does it have legs? Is this something that we should make a run at? And thus far, we've not come across any negative response to it. I mean, they're like, hey, you know, you're trying to make a difference and go for it.
Let me ask you this. One of the things about these kinds of businesses I always think of, and I want to know how you think about this. So it's important that we make a difference at the end, you know, right? So we're sharing that profit. That's really important. But what about upstream, like where you source your t-shirts from and you know, the labor that goes into those kinds of apparels? How do you think about that?
Right. So, you know, initially initially it was like, who do we know that would have connections in the apparel industry? And luckily, you know, you put some vibes out there and lo and behold, we had some connections. And at that point, then you start looking at, well, how exactly are these garments made? I think that's the other part of the equation, the responsibility. I mean, we not only want to put out the apparel with the inspiring messages, but we want to make sure too that the product itself has a good backstory as well. I think now more than ever, consumers are savvy. They are picky about where they spend their money, and they would much rather spend their dollars on a product that they know is either sourced locally or humanely, whatever it is. They're doing their research. And so by default, we have to do our research as well.
So with your organization, you had this idea, you ran it by some friends and family and business people that you knew, and everybody's like, go, 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 right? So right. How did you get your first, 100 t-shirts out the door? What did you do?
We partnered with a friend to get the website up because we didn't know how to build a website. He had connections with graphic designers and apparel distributors. So it's just all those steps that it took to get our products, even a photographer, we had to find models, everything. And really it was word of mouth. So we have this website, social media. I mean, that's just been huge for us, not only on Instagram, but Facebook, and just getting the word out that way. And then just organically through word of mouth. And then we've done some pop-ups and some makers markets. And right off the bat, after we formed our relationship with Second Harvest Heartland, they said, "Hey, we know Hunger Solutions, and they're putting this walk to end hunger at the Mall of America, which happens on Thanksgiving morning. I think they're looking for somebody to do their t-shirts." And originally, to do corporate and event based apparel wasn't really originally part of the plan. It was, we thought we'd do e-commerce, maybe get into some boutiques, but as our product got out there, we thought, well, why can't we do corporate and event-based apparel? I mean, that is another way to generate revenue and build brand awareness. So that was actually quite amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah, I so many things I love about this. I want to pick a little bit of this apart. One of the things that you talked about is, we happen to have a friend who understood how to do a website with e-commerce and graphic designs for t-shirts, and somebody with the apparel industry. And we happen to have a friend who's a photographer, and we got our friends to be models and all that. So if you think about that, one of the assets that you had at your disposal, and you mentioned it earlier, is community. Right. If you think about the fact that, and I have little doobie debbies coming up on my arm here as I think about this, because as you think about, how does a business succeed? How does a person succeed? How do any of us succeed? It's really about our connections into the community and how the community sort of picks us up and carries us along that way. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, so true. And I'll double back. I never really thought I would be an entrepreneur. I never had that dream or that goal, but it fell into our laps. Now more than ever, you see the importance of making those connections, building those relationships, and it requires you to put yourself out there, which can be a scary thing. But just making that leap, regardless of being afraid, and building up those relationships. And Eric, my husband, he's a relationship builder, and we've relied a lot on his connections. You can't build a business by yourself. It's not the intention to do that. You need a community of people that are going to support you and also tell you, hey, that's a really good idea. Or, I think you might need to go back to the drawing board with that one. But to come at it from an honest, caring perspective.
You launched, I think you said August of 2017, you actually launched. Now, and you mentioned also, like, you launched in August, and then by November, they had this walkathon. So you ended up with a corporate gig, which you just did not see happening, or event-based gig, right?
Right, so, right.
One of the things that we say around here a lot is miracles find you while you're in motion. It's like there are these miracles out there and they're just looking for you. And then if you're sitting home and you're sitting on your sofa and you're sitting on your hands, they can't get to you. But it's that second that you step out in faith and you just say, I am just going to go do something and I'm going to be open to feedback and guidance along the way. That's the moment when things really shift for you, isn't it?
Exactly. I think that's the, launching hands and feet turned me into a dreamer and a doer. It allowed me the ability to take that leap of faith and to have the courage to put my idea out there. And you're right. I mean, nothing is going to get done if you're just sitting there. You need to take action and those little steps and be able to pivot when life takes you down a different road, whether it's business or relationships, but being open to the possibilities.
We talked a little bit ahead of time about some of your business metrics, and you know there are things on your list that any business is going to be doing, right? So what's our revenue? What's our profitability? You know, what's our cash flow? All those kinds of things. But then you're also measuring your impact, right? And you said you launched in August of 2017, and by the end of the year, how many meals did your company provide?
We were able to create over 18,000 meals in that short time, which, I mean, to be honest, we didn't really have a goal. We just thought, let's put this out there and see where it goes. But for 2018, we have the goal of creating 100,000 meals. Right. And to us, Hands and Feet is an apparel company. But at the end of the day, our purpose is to create meals for children.
Did you get everything right from the beginning? I mean, you know, you said that you mentioned it to all these people and they said, yeah, you're onto something, go, go, go. Where do you think you didn't quite get it right?
You know, and I don't know that we've had like instances of that, but it's more finding the path to success and being able to take in feedback, not only from our customers, but our partners and friends and other business associates to say, maybe we need to go in a different direction. Again, you know, originally we were going to be a retail company, but then we have this opportunity to create corporate apparel. And we've since then have had other opportunities to do that. It's another way to generate those dollars, which then equals meals for children. And again, at the end of the day, that's really what our purpose is.
You mentioned word of mouth and social media. I have to admit, I think I found you through Instagram and I saw your feed and I was probably following a hashtag that you used and then your name came up and I went, oh, who is this? What? Holy cow, I haven't heard of them. And I really dug into it and watched your video on your website. Very moving. Love it. Let's go to this. Advice to early stage social entrepreneurs or aspiring social entrepreneurs, people who want to use business and to do good. So what's something you've learned on your path that you'd pass along?
It would definitely be don't be afraid to ask for help. Prior to launching Hands and Feet, I actually wasn't a person that liked to ask for help. I thought, oh no, it means I'm weak or I don't know what I'm doing. But it's quite the opposite. It shows strength and courage to be able to ask for help, to know that you don't need to know it all and that there are people in the world that are more than happy to share their time and expertise with you.
If people wanted to find Hands and Feet online or on social media, where would they look?
So our website is yourhandsandfeet.com, and we are also on Facebook and Instagram at Your Hands and Feet.
Okay, so a call to action. What's something you'd like to see people go and do as a result of this conversation?
For me personally, and I think it speaks to everybody in this world where you know, everybody is rushing around to the next best thing, is to actually slow down and be present. If I hadn't stopped and reflected on the need of this 1 4-year-old boy in my life, Hands and Feet wouldn't be here. There are amazing opportunities out there for all of us, big and small. And you just need to quiet yourself so that you can see those opportunities and then take action on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me just encourage people to check out yourhandsandfeet.com to go over, sign up for your newsletter, to get a discount on their next t-shirt. And Susan, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tony.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.